I have a question for the rabbi after we get started.
Okay. You want to wait till we get started, though?
It's up to the rabbi.
To go on topic?
Oh, it's on topic, all right.
Okay. So we are up to the final chapter of Sefer Shoftim. Chapter 21, Perek Chaf Aleph. And much of the last chapter, we spoke about the battle between the Shvatim, the tribes, and the tribe of Binyamin. And at the end, of the chapter, so it says, in Pasuk Mem Zayin, verse 47, it says, Vayifnu, and they turned, Vayanusu Amidbara, and they ran away to Midbar Al Sala Harimon, Shesh Meos Ish, 600 men. Vayeshu B'Sala Harimon, and they settled in Sala Harimon, Arba Chadoshim, for 4 months. And in Mem Ches, it says, Ve'ish Yisrael Shavua B'nei Binyamin, and the people of Israel went back to the B'nei Binyamin, Ayakumu Epicherev, and they smote them by sword. Meir Misom Ad Behema, from the cities, they killed everyone, all the way to the animals, Ad Kala Nimso, everything that was to be found. Gam Kala Arima Nimso, Shulchu Ba'ish, and they burned down all of the cities. I do not know. You're right. It sounds like similar to Ir Hanidaka, but I don't know why or where all this came from. And right. Well, it became much bigger because Binyamin, right, they didn't take care of them, they didn't punish them, but yeah. It's not a question of what did the animals do. In the Irani Daka, what did the animals do also?
Well,
but
the Irani Daka certainly
I'm not sure that's why we're destroying everything. I think it's just that. That's the din. That's what you do. But, okay. Yeah, no, I don't know why they didn't hear. I don't know. I didn't see much anything about it. Yeah, I agree. In the farm that I saw, there are other farms that I didn't have a chance to look at, but, that's right. All right. So now we're up to Perek Chaf Aleph. So there's the 600 men remaining of Binyamin, and the Perek begins, Pasuk Aleph, the Ish Yisrael, Nishba B'Mitzvah Lemar. And the men of Israel had sworn in Mitzvah previously, Ish mimenu lo yiteng bito lebinyamin leisha. The men from us should not give their daughter, his daughter. No man from us should give his daughter to Binyamin as a wife. So this shvua, this oath, was actually taken in mitzvah. Mitzvah was where they met up before they went to battle against Binyamin. In the beginning of Perek Chaf, it says that. Very first pasuk says, "Vayetsu kol bnei Yisrael, vatikal eidach yishechad l'midan v'advershev v'eretz gilad el Hashem ha-mitzvah." That they all met up in mitzvah, and that is where they all took this oath that no man can give his daughter to Binyamin, to the man of Binyamin, as a wife. So the pasuk goes on, Vayavo ha'am Beisel, and the nation came to Beisel, Vayishvu sham ad ha'erev, and they dwelled there until evening, Lifnei Elokim, before Hashem, Vayisu kolam, and they raised up their voices, Vayivku b'chi gadol, and they cried out a great cry. What were they crying? Pasuk Gimel, Vayomru, and they said, Lama Hashem Elokei Yisrael, Haizazos B'Yisrael. Hashem, why did this happen in Klal Yisrael? We parted Hayom Yisrael Shevet Echad to, for one Shevet to be, lowered, to be almost demolished. Why did this occur? How could this occur? So, what were they asking? So, yeah, I think they're davening, yes. And they're saying, you know, we need all of the shvatim. Klal Yisrael isn't complete without the shvatim. How could, and when the Sadovim learned, they were like sort of asking, like, why? How could this happen, and what should we do? How should we respond now to, in order to uphold this Shevet, to allow them to survive? The Malbim has a more elaborate reading of this, that which really fits very nicely into the context. So the Malbim says that they were saying as follows. The only reason why they destroyed Binyamin to the extent that they did was because Binyamin had beaten them the first two times in battle. Binyamin killed 40,000 men from them, and sort of it was an act of revenge, I guess. And that's why they so definitively, utterly wiped out Binyamin to such an extent. If not for that, who would do what to who again? Right. Okay. Right. So. Right, but otherwise, if not, whatever, right, whatever the reason was, whatever the exact cause, but they wouldn't have beaten them so much, they wouldn't have killed so many people, if not for the fact that Binyamin had killed them first, had defeated them twice in battle first. Rather, they would have just punished the people from Giva, and they wouldn't have destroyed everyone. It's only because Binyamin killed 40,000 men, so the way the Malbim says it is Asubo Nekama. They took revenge. Now, they came to Hashem, and they're crying, and they're wondering, why did it play out this way? Why did we lose the first two times around? So we've spoken at length about, you know, what we, you know, from our perspective, and from the perspective of the Farshan, and the Gemara, what the cause was. They didn't, right? The Gemara says, because they didn't, Hashem said, you, in my honor, you didn't protest, but you protested this woman's honor. We talked about, in, you know, the Ramban, that they said they were too confident, or it wasn't their role to carry out the punishment of the Bnei Giva. But they didn't necessarily see that. And the Malbim says that they were looking for a reason why this happened. And their conclusion was, it's going to be, that somebody must have transgressed the shvua, the oath that we took. But right, that the reason why the shvatim were defeated the first two times in battle, that's what they're speaking now. That's what they're asking in this pasuk. Lama Hashem Elokei Yisrael Haizazos B'Yisrael. Why did this happen in Israel that we had to be defeated first, and then we pocket Hayom Yisrael Shevet Echad, and then in response had to, or we did, almost wipe out this Shevet Binyamin. And that's the answer that they were looking for. And I sort of, you know, the answer is going to be, we'll see a couple of psukim, that they thought that it was because someone transgressed the oath, the shvua, that they had taken. Let's see the next couple of psukim. Vayhimi macharas, and it was the next day. Vayashkimu ha'am, and the nation got up. Vayivnu sham mizbeach, and they built a mizbeach there. Vayalu olos u'shlamim, and they brought karbonos. They brought offering of olos and shlamim. Vayom Ruben Yisrael pasakei, and Bnei Yisrael said, Mi asher lo olo bakoho, because if they Yisrael Hashem. Who is it that hasn't gone up in the nation from all of the shvatim? Ki yashvua gedola haisa, because there was this oath, Vasher lo olo Hashem ha-mitzvah lemar mos yumas, that whoever didn't go up to mitzvah would surely die. So now they're referring to, it seems, a different oath. That there was a shvua gedola. There was an oath, Asher lo ala Hashem a mitzvah. For anyone who didn't go up to Hashem to join Hashem's army, that most yumas, that person would die. And so they are, after seeking what was the reason why they were defeated, so the Malbim says they remembered a previous occurrence, what happened back in the Melchemes Ai, in the times of Yoshua, that also they lost the war at first, and there it was known to them that the reason why they lost was because Achan took from the spoil in that story, if I remember correctly, and they had a shvua not to, and he transgressed the shvua, and that's why they lost. So that's what their suspicion here, the reason they suspected that the reason why they lost here was for the same reason. As the pasuk describes, Ba'asher Haisa, Ki Ashvua Gedola Haisa, because there was a Shvua Gedola between them, that whoever wouldn't go up to Mitzvah, to join the milchama, that person would have to die. And they realized, they decided, they concluded, I assume not. I assume if you have a valid excuse, you have a valid excuse, but yeah. But they determined that there must have been people who transgressed the shvua, and that's why they lost, and that's what they were seeking now. Who were the people who did not join the battle? So actually, I'm making a mistake. Before I said that it was the shvua of not marrying from the Bnei Binyamin, so that was a different shvua. There was a shvua that's referenced at the very beginning of the parak, which is going to be relevant, that they had a shvua that no man can give his daughter to the Bnei Binyamin as a wife. And then separately now, the pasuk is referencing a different shvua that they said that whoever doesn't come up to mitzvah to fight with us will die. And according to the Malbim, this was what they determined was the cause that they lost, because there were people who did not follow through with the shavua.
Oh, but can I interrupt?
Yeah.
This shavua to not give any of their daughters to Binyamin. Isn't there a pasuk in the Torah that says you're not supposed to marry outside your tribe in the first place?
I think it's right. After the Benos Klafad, I believe
that was an old one.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Okay, so let's just pause for a second and look back at what's going on in these psukim. So it says in Pasuk Beis, Vayavo Ha'am Beisel, and the nation came to Beisel. So in the previous chapter, in general, when we referred to Beisel, we meant Shiloh, the house of God, the house of Hashem, where the Mishkan was. Now, there's an interesting Radak, which the Mitzvah Zohar points out, back in Perek Chaf, Pasuk Yudchak. And there also it says they went to Beisel. And there, the Mefarshim also say that it refers to Shiloh. But the Radak has a second possibility. The Radak says, Pasuk Chavav. So he says there, it seems like it's Shiloh. So that's where the Aron was. And he says also, this was actually, the Radak here is actually Pasuk Chavav in the last chapter. He's commenting on the second time that they went to Beis El to ask the Urim Bitumim. And he says there it's Shiloh, because there it references that the Aron was there. And there it's certainly Shiloh. And he says in the previous time was also Shiloh. And then he says, it's possible, he says, that actually, this was actually in Beis El, and that they brought the Aron to Beis El, because Beis El was near Shiloh. And then he says, they brought it there to Davin. They came to Beis El to Davin, and Hashem answered them, "Bizchus Yaakov, shebirich oso Elokim sham." In the merit of Yaakov, that Hashem blessed him there, the Noah be'oso perek Binyamin. And in that time, Binyamin was born to Yaakov. So the Radak is mentioning here that it's possible that in the last perek, when they went to Beis El, that it actually meant Beis El, and that they went there to Davin, and they were answered in the merit of Yaakov, who also davened there, and as a result had a son, Binyamin. So the Mishpatot Zav says that actually, according to this, would fit very beautifully if that was the case, that they were actually going to Beis El, and they went to the place where they're going out to battle against Binyamin. And he says, certainly over here it would make sense that they would have gone to the place where Hashem promised to Yaakov, Goyukal Goyim Yetsu Mimekro Mulachim Echalatecha Yetseyu, that a nation will come from you, kings will come from you, and that's a nevuah, that was a nevuah on Binyamin. And that there would be a tribe of Binyamin. And so it would be very befitting, he says, if they went to that place in order to daven and to figure out what to do in order to continue, allow the tribe of Binyamin to survive. Mm-hmm. Now, the Mishpat Zav also brings a number of sources about the essentialness of having 12 tribes of Israel. You know, here you have a tribe that's almost wiped out. So we have many ideas that point to the idea that there should be 12 shvatim. So, for example, he says, quotes a psikta, a medrash, Kol Masheh Barach Kadosh Baruch Hu Bizchus Hashvatim Barach. All that Kadosh Baruch Hu created, he created in the merit of the Shvatim. After Motzei Shneimasar Chodesh Bashana, there are 12 months, 12 mazalos in the heavens, 12 hours in the day, 12 hours in the night. Amar Kadosh Baruch Hu Afilu Ha'el Yonim V'Tachtonim Lo Barasi El B'Zkus HaShvatim. Even the upper heavens, the lower heavens, I only created in the merit of the Shvatim. Quote some Sukkim. So Eliyahu HaNavi apparently took 12 stones to, you know, to number the Shvatim. We also know Yaakov Avinu drowning himself with 12 stones. When he was on the mountain, when he was on Harabayit. What's that?
When he's at Beitel.
Right. And whatever it means over there also, right? So so we see this idea in the Medrash of the essence of 12 Shvatim. The Arizal says that in the Rakia there are 12 windows corresponding to the 12 Shvatim, and each Shevet, his sigil goes up through its own gate specific to that Shevet. That's what the 12 Sha'arim mentioning Yechezkel refer to. There's a minog to have 12 windows in a Beit Knesset, and they will often paint them with the different shvatim. That's a real minog. So there's a lot to this. Idea of having Yud Beis Shvatim, that's Yitaso Shlema, that Yaakov Avinu's bed was complete, it was full, Kabbalistic nature, you know, that 12 Shvatim complete Kal Yichal, but...
Before you came, what about Hatsi? Watch him on the same list up there, because in Southeast, many years ago, they replaced them when they put these new windows in. They used to be stained glass windows. I think there were like six of us in the ship.
I remember when I was growing up, had those kinds of windows.
Upstairs
they had them?
They were stained glass windows. I don't know, you know.
I don't remember.
We'll have to go and look next time. Yeah, I think it's pretty common to have it. So that's the essence of Yud Beis Shvatim. Now, just in Pasuk Dalet, so it's interesting, they build a Mizbeah. So if they're in Shiloh, the place of the Mishkan, then why do they need to build a Mizbeah? There's already a Mizbeah there. So the Mefarshim say, no, they were in Shiloh, and there was a Mizbeah. But a new Mizbeah, it was during the time still of Heter Bamos, you're allowed to build Mizbechos. And a new Mizbeach is like a new way of seeking an answer from Hashem. It was a rededicating themselves, and that was the approach that they took. Okay. Vav. Pasuk Vav. So in Pasuk Hey again, they said, you know, we had the Shavua, we had this oath that said that whoever doesn't come up to mitzvah will die, and they were probably the cause, the reason why we lost. So what happened? Pasuk Vav, Vayinachamu b'nei Yisrael el binyamin achiv, and b'nei Yisrael regretted, I guess, they have relented. Okay, right. They felt bad, basically, for Binyamin. Vayomru nigda hayom shevet echon miYisrael. They said we've wiped out, or almost wiped out, a shevet from Israel. Manase lahem lanosarim lenashim. What will we do for the remainder, to get wives for them? Vanachnu nishbanu vashem. And we have sworn, Levilti Teslam Ibn Oseinu Lenoshim, not to give from our daughters to them as wives. So they, like, it really seems like there were only 600 men of Binyamin left, and everyone else in the tribe of Binyamin had been wiped out. There were no women, there was nobody left, and they were stuck, because the how was this Shiva to survive if they had sworn, instead of taking an oath, not to marry off their daughters to the tribe of Binyamin?
again, back to my question to you, why Catholic is it all right over there?
Yeah,
it's a problem.
I don't know.
I assume the women
I don't know. So the Beshech Chochma wonders, why didn't they just get a Hataris Nadarim here? Matir their Tzvuah. Why didn't they get, why didn't they nullify their oath as is possible? So he says, maybe you'll say, because they said Nisbanu Bashem, by the name of God. He says, no, that even that you're allowed to, there's Hatara for, you can nullify that. Now there's something called being noder al das rabim, taking a nether with the public knowledge that normally doesn't have a hatara. You normally can't nullify that, but there's an exception when it's a dvar mitzvah, you're allowed to. And here we're certainly a dvar mitzvah to help the shevet survive. Yeah, that's really the question. That would be the hatara. So why couldn't they use that?
Did
so,
you say something about circumstances changing?
The circumstances changed.
Did they?
Yeah, they were in danger of getting wiped out.
So I think at the time that they took the oath, they didn't necessarily realize that they would end up with, where they would be.
Wiping out.
Right, that wasn't in the plans, I guess. So what he ends up saying is that they said Ishmi Menu. He says it's as if the nether was on each and every one of them. And if the Canaan, if the elders would be matir the nether, would nullify it, so it would be that they're nullifying their own nether also. And they would also be allowed to marry their daughters to Binyamin. And that's like being, that would be like being matir their own nether. And that was the problem. That you can't, it's a technical problem that he ends up with. I don't know, maybe it's not possible. I think that's what he's saying, that the way the nether is constructed, and I don't know the technical Hilchos Nedarim, but the way the nether was constructed, if you were to be matir it, so it would automatically be undone for everyone, including the people who were undoing it. And by doing so, they would be matiring their own nether, and you can't do that. You can't be matir your own nether. So it was like a technical problem that did not allow them to be matir it. Right. Okay. So Pasuk Chet. Here's their solution. What are they going to do? By Yomru, and they said, Mi echon mishifti Yisrael asher lo ala l'Hashem ha-mitzvah. Who is one of the nations of Yisrael, one of the Shvatim of Yisrael, that did not go up to Hashem to mitzvah? Vinei, lo va isha l'machne miyavish gilad alakal. No man came from Yavish Gilad to the gathering. From this place, Yavish Gilad, I think it was from Shevet Menasheh. Nobody came. So they are our people. So the Malbim says that
overlap.
So now they're looking for, they're looking for the future. What are they going to do about this? And there's 600 men of Binyamin left, and they have a shvuah that they can't marry them. So this is going to wipe out Binyamin, he says. It's going to be a shevet wiped out. So the way that he describes the problem, why that's such a big deal, is because the shechina can only be shoreh. The shechina only settles if all the shvatim are intact. And if you're missing one shevet, it's a great pagam, it's very damaging to the nation as a whole. And it would be damage for all future generations, irreparable, and can't happen. Oh, I don't know if Shvatim are wiped out. We're just mixed up, lost. So, yeah, I don't know if everybody went to may have been right. Yeah, I don't know. So they said that we have to look for one city or one place, one family that didn't join the war, and they'll be chayav misa because they did not they transgressed the shvua, the oath. And the oath was that whoever doesn't go to war, most of us, has to be killed. And they would take those women, the women from that place, and give them over to the people of Binyamin. Now, how could they marry them? What about the oath that the daughters couldn't marry? So again, the same thing, that since these people didn't come to mitzvah, so they would be exempt from that shvua, that our daughters cannot marry the men of Binyamin, but whoever wasn't there would not be included in the shvua. So it's interesting because there's two shvuas here. One is all-inclusive, because it says whoever doesn't come to mitzvah gets killed, so that includes everyone. But the other shvuah, which was that whoever, all of our daughters can't marry the men of Binyamin, so that would only have included the people who were there. So whoever wasn't there, A, first of all, would be chayav misa, and second of all, their daughters would be permitted to the Bnei Binyamin. So we'll get there in a second. Pasuk says, "Vayisparkedam," and the nation looked around. They took account. "Hinei ein sham ish miyosh veYavish Gilad," and there was no man there from the dwellers of Yavish Gilad. They realized there was no one from there. "Vayishluchu sham ha'ida," and they sent out the nation. "Shneimasar elef ish mibnei achayil." 12,000 men from the army. I think the Kuyakar says that they were hinting to, you know, this idea that we need 12 shvatim. They sent 12,000 men. Vayitavu osam leimor, and they commanded these 12,000 men, saying, "Lechu go v'kisim es yoshva yavish gilad l'chicherev v'anashim v'ata. Go and strike down the dwellers of Yavish Gilad by sword, including the women and the children. V'zeh ha'davar asher tasu, and this is what you should do. Kol zachar v'chol isha yodas mishkav zachar tacharimu. All males and all women who had a relationship already with a man, you should destroy. V'yimtsu miyosh v'yavish gilad arba meos naira v'sula, and they found from the dwellers of the Yavish Gilad 400 virgins asher lo yada isha v'mishkav zachar, that had never been involved with a man. And they brought them to the camp of Shiloh, asher be'eretz Kenan, that was in Eretz Kenan, and they had 400 virgin girls to give to the Bnei Binyamin as wives. So this is... Yeah, this, it was a... It seems it was just a... a massacre. Yeah. Now, right. So first of all, again, this is like very perplexing and troubling story, as difficult as any of the other ones we've been reading about. Here you have, again, they're wiping out the entire people. They did transgress the Shavua, not that they were supposed to come to battle. The pasuk here that we just read, pasuk Yud Beis, so it describes the it describes them by Yaviu or some of Amachan as Shiva. It says they brought them to the camp of Shiva, Asher Beretz Kenan. That was in Kenan. And the Radak wonders, why do you need that? We know that Shiloh is in Canaan. Why does it say that they brought them to Shiloh, which was in Eretz Canaan? We know that Shiloh is in Eretz Canaan. So the Zav suggests that it's maybe it's trying to tell you, as opposed to where these people were from. The people of Yahweh Shiloh were not from Eretz Canaan. They were from the other side of the Jordan. And he says, and perhaps that's why they didn't come, because they thought that they weren't included in the in this Shavua. They thought that they didn't have to come. They were wrong, I guess. And the consequences were serious and unfortunate. But they were supposed to come.
There was a specific undertaking by their ancestors to Moshe Rabbeinu to come.
That was the battle.
Oh, that's true. That is true. I'm wrong. You're right. That is true. From Mount Gilead, which is.
So in this, coming week's parsha, right? It's a double parsha coming up again, the Har B'Chukosai, I assume.
Uh-huh.
Is it? I think
it's
yeah. Okay. So I could say this coming week's parsha, and parsha B'Chukosai. So right near the very end, the pasuk says, Parak Chav Zion. Pasuk Chav Tes. So it says, Kol Chayrim Asher Yacharam Min HaAdam Lo Yipadeh Mos Yuma. So any Chayrim, any oath that a person takes about a man, you cannot redeem him, most you must, he dies. What's the pasuk talking about? So Rashi, here they'll translate based on Rashi, here they say, any condemned person who shall be banned from mankind shall not be redeemed, he shall be put to death. What does that mean? So Rashi, that's based on Rashi, what it's actually saying is that if a person is going out, being brought out to be killed, and a person says, Ercho alai, that his value is upon me, I am obligated to based on mikdash, right, because this is the parsha of Erechin, I will be obligated to give hektish, to give a donation to based on mikdash, at that man's value, and he's talking about someone who's being brought out to die, So the pasuk says, "Lo yipade, he won't be redeemed. There's no value, and the person who took the oath doesn't owe anything to the Beit Hamikdash. Most you must. This person's being brought out to die. He has no value in terms of erich. That's what erichin, and this idea of so it's a way of donating to the Beit Hamikdash, where you say that person's value is on me to donate that amount of money to the Beit Hamikdash." So if the person's being brought out to be killed,
he has
capital
no
punishment,
value.
He has no value, right? So that's Rashi. The Ramban brings a couple of other approaches. But then he, then he says as follows. He says, we find by the men of Anshe Yavesh Gilad, in our story, says we find in Sefer Shoftim that the men of Yavesh Gilad transgressed the Shvua, they transgressed the oath of the nation, and they didn't come to Mitzvah. And what happened? They were annihilated. He says, Ein hasvara nosene sha'asuka la'ida ra kazot. It doesn't make sense that the Jewish people, as a people, would just go and kill the Anshe Yavesh Gilad unless they were actually Chai of Misa. So, Pinchas Hayasham. Pinchas was there. He was the leader. And it was done by his word. So what's going on here? Why were they all killed? Why was everybody killed? So he says, I found a medrash. The medrash says, "Acherem hu ashvua v'ashvua ha'acherem." That a cherem is the same as a shvua, as an oath, and the shvua is the same as a cherem. Same idea. A cherem is also like an oath, or like a, we know that from the put a person in a cherem, it's a excommunicated, but it means that right, kol cheirim, kol shvua, kol isar, right? There is a better English word for this. What's the word? I can't think of the word, but
excommunication.
Yeah, or of a. Like a band. Like a band. Maybe I'm not thinking of English words. It's a similar. What we're saying here is like it's like a band. It's like a rule upon everyone that they all have to follow it. So over here says the Ramban that the.
Oh, you're a lawyer?
I'm practicing.
Oh, I didn't know that.
The, shame on us both. It may not be an English word that I'm thinking of. I may,
Well,
ask Gilly Grossman. It's a word that he uses, I think, for cherem. And it may not be English. I can't think of the word. It starts with C. No, I don't know if it starts with an S, probably, but I don't know. So that medrash actually says, Anshe Yavesh Avru al Acherem v'nishchai v'misa. The men of Yavesh Gilad, they transgressed the Acherem, and they were chai of Misa. So the Ramban says, therefore I say that it came from this pasuk in Parshas Bechukosai. That's where they learned this halacha from. That the halacha is that if a king or a Sanhedrin, in front of all of Israel, they rule that you have to go to war against a certain city. If anybody doesn't, they're chai of Misa. And that's what happened to Anshe Yavesh Gilad. And that's this pasuk, Kol cheirem asher yecheram min ha'adam, any cheirem that, any of these oaths that is taken, I don't know how the words go, yipadefeging, won't be redeemed, most yumas, he will surely die. The Ramban says that they learned the halacha from this pasuk, that if the people as a whole take a shvua to not take a shvua but make a psak that everyone has to go to battle against a certain city, and you don't, so you're chayav misa. That's what they based it on. All right.